The same thing can happen when we work with people. We try to get them to the temple before they are truly matured in the church. We try to reactivate them in the church before they really understand the covenants and the gospel. Or we try to get them into the gospel before they know who they are and have a sense of being loved. We get impatient and violate the sequence. What happens if we try to get people into the second event, that is the gospel, before they understand their identity and trust their relationship with us? They won't be open to it. What happens if we try to get people into the fourth event, the church, before they've experienced the first three? They may be baptized, but they will be blown away with the first storm. To have staying power, they must be converted. Far too often, people get into the church without ever getting deeply into the gospel. Thus, they become active in the church, but remain inactive in the gospel. That is, they don't continually go back to the covenant process so that they can be nurtured in the Savior's love through the power of His atoning sacrifice. As a result, they eventually start losing the spiritual food within and become subject to the environment around them. If that environment is positive and uplifting, they do well. But if it tests them, if they have to deal with members and leaders who are human and therefore make mistakes, they get offended and begin to withdraw. They are like the seeds that, quote, fell upon stony places where they had not much earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched. And because they had no root, they withered away. Close quote. Once members of the church begin to withdraw from fellowship, they often get into a cycle of looking for evidence to justify their withdrawal, and they inevitably find it, because all people are imperfect. In the process, they also withdraw from the real source of their spiritual sustenance and power. In some cases, they turn to other sources. For instance, they may associate with groups that are critical of the church, or start reading anti-Mormon literature, which is like pornography to the soul. Thus, the seeds of doubt multiply and grow, causing them to become cynical and critical, and eventually to leave the path entirely. They may even go back to apostate notions of salvation, losing the whole concept of becoming perfect in Christ through constant renewal of the gospel covenant. My wife and I know a couple who once joined the church primarily because of the social nurturing they received from other Latter-day Saints. When they were sealed in the temple, many of us traveled a great distance to be there and show our love and support. The couple felt very happy and fulfilled, and they became deeply involved in various callings in the church. For example, the woman was an unusually competent organizer and leader, and she managed the visiting teacher program better than it had ever been done before. After a while, new Relief Society leaders were called, and this sister was given a different assignment. A less competent woman took charge of the visiting teaching program, and it began to suffer as a result. By that time, the honeymoon period had also passed in the couple's social relationships with other ward members. They were part of the team, but now they were expected to give as well as to receive. A new bishopric came in with a different style and different approaches that were very upsetting to the couple. After a number of unhappy experiences, they gradually became disenchanted and disaffected. Eventually, they developed a spirit of criticism and fault-finding toward the church. During our mission in Ireland, I saw an entire branch built in Belfast on the personal power of two dynamic missionaries who were filled with love and with the Spirit. Because the new converts were so deeply dependent on these elders, they were easily uprooted as they came to the rickety old building where the branch met and discovered the weaknesses of the other members. The branch was built up in just a few months, and it was practically destroyed in about the same period of time as soon as the missionaries were gone. The problem was that these people had gone straight into the fourth event of the restoration, the church, without ever deeply experiencing the earlier events. They had come into the church without really receiving the gospel, and they had never understood the concept of entering into a covenant with Christ and renewing it every week at the sacrament table.